Welcome to Granite State Divide, the podcast that brings politics and community together to educate and foster common ground. My name is Kathy Rago, and this is Granite State Divide. Let's get started. All right, on today's program, we welcome former Mayor Ken Merrifield to the podcast, and we would like to talk about the latest city manager mayor's proposal for a $20 million bond. So welcome, Ken, to the podcast.
Thank you, Kathy. Good to see you.
Good to see you. So let's break it down. So City Hall, Opera House, they want a $5 million bond. Mm-hmm. I know Chief Voss did a study. Do you know anything about, you know, as far as the City Hall being up to code, what the $5 million, why do we need a $5 million bond for City Hall?
That is a good question. I have recently looked at the capital improvement plan, which the city is required to have a capital improvement plan. And I've looked at that recently in light of this proposal. And it strikes me that everything that I found in the capital improvement plan didn't add up to $5 million. In fact, I mean, I think that the largest life safety concern, and, you know, you and I have both been on the Opera House Board of Directors in the past. I think the sprinklerization of the building is probably the primary concern. And what I see in the CIP plan is that that project itself would only cost $100,000. At least, you know, what I read there now, I don't know how firm that estimate is, but $100,000 is a far cry from $5
million. Exactly.
So I suspect that we're looking at a complete refab of the building, including like air conditioning and heating and ventilation, because those were some big ticket items in the CIP.
But those aren't like... aren't life safety issues.
Exactly my point. Right. I think if you were trying to protect the public in the building from a fire threat, sprinklerization would solve that, and it's $100,000.
All right. Okay. All right. The next thing that they want is roads, $9.5 million. So I'm just curious, why does the city not repair roads over time? I mean, they could be repairing roads every year over time. Why is it that they now say we need $9.5 million to repair our roads?
Yeah, I think that there is certainly, anybody who drives in Franklin knows that there's a lot of deferred maintenance, a lot of roads that have not gotten attention for many years. And the problem when you're trying to finance these kinds of projects, a road is a road is a road, right? But actually, how deep are you digging into that road? Are you just doing a skim coat? Are you just, are you just applying a new surface? And if they're planning on doing that with $9.5 million, they might cover a lot of space, but it's not going to last the 20 years that we'll be paying for it. So we might get to year 15 of this bond still paying for the skim coat that was broken up, you know, 5 years earlier.
Right.
So it depends on how deep into the roadbed you're going. And honestly, if you do it right, if you reclaim a road completely, it's very expensive. It's very expensive.
Yeah, didn't you say it's like $1 million per one mile?
Yeah, I want to say that once upon a time when I was either on the city council or I was mayor, the rough estimate of $1 million per mile was thrown out. Now, there's been a lot of inflation since then, and I don't know what current estimates would be today, but that's what we were told you know, when I was deeply involved in these kinds of discussions.
All right. And the next two items, I'm just going to combine together. Trestle Bridge, $3 million, and the Whitewater Park, $2.5 million. Now, when we were having all these discussions about the Whitewater Park coming into town, and the Trestle Bridge was all part of it, it was all connected, I remember specifically asking the council if there was going to be any local Franklin taxpayer money involved in any of this. And I was assured, and I know people were assured many times, that no local Franklin taxpayer money was going to be involved. It was all federal grants, state grants, and tax credits. Now they're coming down and saying they want $5.5 million.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I worry. Some of the estimates that I've seen about, you know, the number of visitors that we're going to have and the economic benefits of the Whitewater Park seem to me to be wildly exaggerated. And I'm not sure, you know, how much of the population of Franklin that would be paying for this will actually make use of the park. My guess is that we'll be subsidizing the project for 20 years into the future, probably the rest of my life then.
Right.
We'll be paying for that for a small subset of the people of Franklin. And I talk to people, you might expect, I know quite a few folks in Franklin, and of everything in this bond, that is the one thing that they are dead set against. They are dead set against bonding for that project.
Yeah, well, I certainly can understand that. One of the things I had done a podcast with the mayor when she was running for office, and one of the things she talked about was when I asked if you're willing to protect and defend the tax cap, she talked about how the tax cap gives security to the elderly population. It gives them an opportunity to stay in their homes. My concern is now, with this $9.5 million, that it's going to, in fact, basically tax people out of their homes. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what the economic effect might be for this $2.50 tax rate?
Yeah, I can tell you, you know, just from my own history in Franklin, I moved here in the late 80s, and there was no tax cap until 1989. And so the first year, I want to say it was the first year I was here, the city adopted a 34% tax increase.
Gosh.
And we were destitute for a long time after that, because there are economic consequences to increasing people's taxes. You will find people flee the city because they can't afford to live in their homes anymore. That has a depressing effect on property values. And I don't think that these unintended consequences are fully being discussed. I don't think people realize when you add an additional 10% to everyone's tax bill on top of what you're collecting every year for a 20-year span, I don't think that the long-term economic effects on property values are truly being considered.
So when you're saying on top of, I think some people don't realize, and I remember we had this discussion many years ago when Tony Genta was mayor, when the council tried to break the tax cap, that people don't realize that once the tax cap is broken, let's say we go from $23 to $26,
mm-hmm.
that's the basis every year going forward. You don't go back to the $23.
Right. The way that the tax cap is written in the city charter right now, it takes last year's taxes collected and adds the rate of inflation on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to, quote unquote, break the tax cap, use the exceptions available in the tax cap, it can't be a one-time thing. You are collecting those taxes in year one, and then you are adding inflation to that number in year two.
Right.
So yeah, it's a forever kind of decision.
Right.
It's a forever increase in taxes. Yeah.
So I wanted to bring this up today because I think a lot of people in Franklin don't realize that our city manager, mayor, and our city council are actually in discussions now to first off approve a $20 million bond, which in essence will ultimately break the tax cap. So what would you tell folks in light of this? Because we've got an April meeting, we got a May meeting, we got a June meeting, city council meetings. What would you want to encourage people
paying attention to what's happening. I mean, the council does post its meeting video and audio and all of that. I think paying attention to what is being considered. contacting your representatives? I mean, these folks are elected to represent us, not to represent the city against us. So I think that hearing from their constituents would be really helpful. And that can take a lot of forms. I mean, you know, you can email folks on the council. You can write to them, through snail mail. You can attend the meetings and let them know, you know, during public comments how you feel about this sort of thing.
Right. And I think all their contact information is actually on the city website is where you can get all that contact information. So.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on the podcast. I appreciate you coming to talk about this very important subject.
It is. Thank you very much, Kathy.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you for tuning in to Granite State Divide. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share on your Facebook or Instagram pages so we can get this information out to as many people as possible. So until next time.